Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. I worship you in the spirit. Glory, glory, hallelujah. If you remember the interchange between the Samaritan woman and Jesus Christ, the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus told her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit must be worship him in spirit and truth, seeking such that shall worship him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And those of us that are waiting for the next event to occur, we continue to pray. We continue to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Carlos Ramos, Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, your host here on Blog Talk Radio this evening for on Thursday for our Bible study. And you notice the new time is 7 p.m. So I'm going to give you a little itinerary. On Sundays, we have the Bible Mystery. That's also, it's going to be at 7 p.m. On Tuesdays, Intercessory Prayer, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. And Thursdays, Bible Study will be at 7 p.m. So please take note of the times and share it with others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You could call us at here on Blog Talk Radio with a question, comment, or testimony at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. I encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we've been studying the subject, What's Next? And last week we had Pastor Newman from Grace Church share with us a little bit about the rapture and will the rapture be before or pre-tribulational. And he spoke about that and he gave us insights as per the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you took notes. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. That was today is going to be part 2, which is the blessed hope. What does rapture mean? Those two subjects we're going to talk about it today. And next week, it'll be part 3, the final of part 3, the difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the saints and the second coming of Christ. The difference, that'll be part 3 next Thursday, unless we get Sister Lisa Ortiz. She is scheduled to bring forth a message as well. So if she does, then we're going to listen to her message. If she's not able to make it, then we'll go with part 3 next Thursday. Glory be to the Lord. So we understand we're going to pray before we go forward and give everything unto the Lord. In the name of Jesus, everything into your hands. This program, our lives, our salvation, our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, everyone, Father God, we give into your hands. Lord God, there's people working in Block Talk Radio behind the scenes. You don't hear them. You don't see them. But they're there, Father God. And I just pray that somehow, through thy Holy Spirit, you reach them, you touch their heart, and they'll be guided to receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. So they too could be part of the rapture. They could also be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. We don't want them to be left behind and then figure it out that they heard the gospel all the time. The gospel is very simple, my brothers and sisters, and that is that Jesus Christ came, Yeshua HaMashiach, the promised Messiah, as per Moses, the writings of the and the Psalms. Glory be to the Lord. He came, he took on a human form, and he was obedient even unto the death on the cross. And he died on the cross because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We, humankind, each individual has broken God's commandments. We have not regarded them at all. And there was a death sentence placed on us because the word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So mankind was heading towards a judgment, a great white throne judgment, where all their deeds and all their good works was not going to save them. The only thing that's going to save a person is their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And how does that happen? Because you're a sinner, because you repent of your sins, you turn from it, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Word of God tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And sure enough, brothers and sisters, you could have everlasting life, eternal life. Bodies has to be put in the grave. It's going to demise. It's going to die. But your soul and spirit will live on forever. The ashes, the spirit goes back to the Lord who created it. And the souls, where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, or are you going to spend eternity in hell, totally separated from God? That's a choice that we must make. We don't. God doesn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't. He is merciful. He is compassionate, and he's patient. And patient is because he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth and repent of their sins, accept Christ as the Lord and Savior so they could have eternal life. Hallelujah. God does in the grave white throne judgment, he accommodates people's decision. If people reject Jesus Christ, well, they decided to spend eternity in hell with Satan. Glory, glory, hallelujah. And we, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of Israel. You know what's going on over there. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done. We're not going to pray against your will. We pray that your will be done. Because we're not 100% sure behind closed doors what Israel has been doing. We see in the history, in the Bible, many times that the Jewish people began to become idolatrous. They chase after other gods, and you allow the enemies to come and punish them. And then you rescue them. And so is Hamas right now, the destroyed entity, coming to hurt Israel, destroy, kill, and separate. And we just pray that Israel will repent of their sin, call unto you for salvation, Lord God, not depend on chariots and horses like some people depend on their military, but to depend on you, Lord God. God tells us that blessed is that nation whose God is their Lord. And man trusts the Lord more than they trust man. So we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem and ask, oh, Father God, that you give them a revelation so they could come unto you. And as the Lord and Savior, we know that a long time ago, Father, they turned their backs on Yeshua HaMashiach. They allowed him to be beaten, 39 stripes. They allowed him to have the crown of thorns on his head. They allow him to in his wrist on the cross and on his feet to the cross. They allow him to be receive a wound his side from the spear of the Roman soldier. And he gave us the spirit for us. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And at the same time that the high priest came from the Holy of Holies, pronouncing that it is finished, Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished. Redemption's plan has been completed. And because the sacrifice is his body, we've been sanctified. And we have peace with God because of what Christ has done for us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So today we're going to study the blessed hope and what does the rapture mean. Let me read you from the scripture, and I'm going to read you from the King James Version, and then I'm going to read you one verse from the Gideon Bible from the 1560 before the King James Version. And this is going to be Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar person, people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I'm reading from the Gideon Bible, the 1560 version. Chapter 2 of Titus, and verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope, hearing of the glory of the mighty God and of the Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see, brothers and sisters, that the blessed hope, Jesus Christ, appeared unto us. He appeared as a baby in the manger. He appeared in the temple as a 12-year-old child, disputing the scriptures with the lawyers and the rabbis. And then he appeared at the Jordan where John the Baptist baptized him, and he went about doing good. He taught his disciples. And what I want you to understand is that in Titus, when Paul writes blessed hope, he's actually talking about the rapture. The rapture and the blessed hope is the same thing. So let me share with you something from the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. The blessed hope. The rapture is often referred to as the blessed hope. 2:13. Because it provides assurance to believers who are concerned about the coming tribulation, and it offers comfort to those who long to be reunited with their departed loved ones who share a faith in Christ. The more than 300 biblical references to the second coming of Christ clearly show that turn has two distinct phases. The contrasting elements cannot be merged into a single event. In the first place, he will come suddenly to rapture his church in the air and take all believers to his Father's house in fulfillment of his promise in John 14:1-3. There will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:8-10. While the believers are in heaven, those left behind on the earth would experience the trials of the 7-year tribulation period. In the second phase of Jesus' second coming, the glorious appearing, he will return to earth in great power and glory to set up his millennium kingdom. The entire second coming has been compared to a two-act play, the rapture and the glory is appearing. With a seven-year intermission, the tribulation. The Apostle Paul distinguishes between these two phases in Titus 2:13, where he refers to the rapture as the blessed hope and the return of Christ to the earth as the glory is appearing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a difference between the second coming and the rapture. Let us go over to 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're going to read from verse 13 down. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, hallelujah. And the word of God says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we see, my brothers and sisters, that the rapture is going to take place. Now, we're not time setters, so we don't know when it's going to happen. But it could happen before the end of this program. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen a couple of years from now. We don't know. God is patient. He don't want no one to lose their salvation because church has not been appointed unto the wrath. We read it on 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we shall live together with him. So we see, my brothers and sisters, that if we leave this body before the coming of Jesus to the clouds, the rapture, to rapture his church, well, nothing is going to prevent those who sleep in Jesus from rising. And then those that are still alive will be caught up together with them. And what happens on the way up to the clouds? There's going to be a transition, a change. This mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. Paul says it in a twinkling of an eye. So when we see Christ in the clouds, we're going to recognize him because we're going to be just like him. And he's going to take it to his Father's house. And we're going to have the set of meal. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And when Jesus Christ comes back the second time to the Mount of Olives, where he's going to put his feet, he's coming with the angels of heaven. And he's coming with the army of heaven. The army of heaven is those of us born-again Christians who will be coming with him in the church. We are his bride, and we're coming back with him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So So you don't want to be left behind, my brothers and sisters. The Word of God gives you a lot of examples in the Old Testament. It gives you a lot of examples in the New Testament about Jesus' return to the clouds for the church. The word caught up is the Greek word harpazo, which means caught up by force. That's what the word rapture means, caught up by force. Yeah, you don't find that word rapture in the Bible unless you read the Latin Vulgate. Then you're going to read rapimos in the Latin, which talks about the rapture, talks about being caught up. But in the English translation, they translated that word caught up. They translated it as rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you a little excerpt from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And beginning at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which live and remain, be caught up. That word caught up is harpazo, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and forever harpazo. In the Greek, it means rapture. They believe in it. They say that it was promulgated in the 1800s. We see even the apostles speaking about the rapture way before the 1800s. And I just pray that my brothers and sisters who are non-believers believe. They receive a revelation. The pastor spoke last week a little bit about pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation. Well, we are of those that believe in the pre-tribulation or the pre-millennium, which means that we believe that the catching up of the church would occur prior to the tribulation that's coming upon this earth. Because we've read it, you know, to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation in Christ. So we are not going to go through the rapture. Some people are mistaken. Some people believe that we're going to go. There's going to be a mid-tribulation, a rapture, which means that in the seven-year pact Christ have with Israel, in the middle of that, 3.5 years, he's going to break that covenant, and that's where the rapture takes place. And then others speak, they believe in the post-tribulation, which means after the tribulation. But when you read Matthew 24, beginning at verse 29, I believe it is, it talks about that the Lord with power and with a great glory, and all eyes will see him. In the tribulation, not all eyes will see him, only those that are born again, those that have God for us, and those that are going to be changed and taken, and how partial that we're going to see the Lord. But nobody else is going to see him. There's a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. In the second coming of Christ, all nations, the Bible says, all people will see him. The Jewish would ask him, where did you get these wounds? Wounds, brothers and sisters, the wounds that he got in his, the wounds that he had in his, the wounds that he's got in his back and the front from the whipping, the wounds from the crown of thorns that they placed on his head, the wound from the stab wound, from the spear, when they went to check if he was dead or alive, those wounds, they're going to ask him, where did you get these wounds from? And he's going to respond to them got to remember from my friend's house. That's in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. So you're gonna see that when he comes back the second time, the Bible says in Zechariah, he's going to put his feet on Mount Olivet, and that mountain will shake. There will be a great earthquake, and it will split in half. Water will gush out of it and heal the Dead Sea. Glory be to the Lord. Difference here is that when he comes from Mount Olivet, he'll speak the word, and he will destroy all his enemies. And he would invite the followers to have a feast, to have a dinner, because there was people there who offered to sacrifice their body for their own belief. This is the rapture and the second coming. We're going to go more deeper into it next week, or when, or maybe the week after. It depends on Sister Lisa Ortiz. Let's go into the other part. What does mean? What does rapture mean? The English word rapture comes from the Latin word rapias, which in Latin Bible translation, the Greek word harpazo, used 14. The basic idea of the word is to sudden remove or snatch away. It is used by the New Testament writers in reference to stealing or plundering in Matthew 11 and 12, 9, 15, 19, John 10, 12, 28 to 29, and removing John 6, 15, Acts 8, 39, 23 and 10, and Jude 23. The New Testament is third use, which focuses on heaven, third heaven experience, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 to 4. And Christ ascending to heaven, Revelation 12, 5. Obviously, harpazo is a perfect word to describe us suddenly taking up the church from earth to heaven at the first part of Christ's second coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that the word harpazo, a sudden withdrawal, sudden taken away. Why is that? Because remember one thing there. Satan was cast out of heaven. He went to the second heavens. So he's the kingdom of the second heavens there. You know, and so Christ is going to come. He's going to invade the second heavens and where the clouds are at, and he's going to rapture up, catch us up by force to be with him in the clouds and then to go to his Father's kingdom. So that's what the word rapture means. It means to be caught up suddenly, to suddenly remove or snatch away. That's what that word means. So talking in the Bible class and they use the word rapture, they translate it from harpazo, which means a sudden taken away or removal or snatching away. Harpazo. Caught up in the English translation. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll share with you the last part, which is, will the rapture be pre-tribulation? I want to share that because to give you more insight into what we were talking about, church is not on earth. In Revelation, the church is not on earth. If you study Revelations from chapter through 18, present chapter 2 and 3, Jesus told by the angel to send letters to the church. But after chapter 4, verse 1, it says, come up hither. This is when we believe the church is raptured up. Will the rapture be pre-tribulational? The common New Testament for church in the Greek is iglesia. It's used 19 times in Revelation chapters 1 to 3, which deals with the historical church of the first century. However, Revelation uses church once more at the very end, Revelation 22 and 6, where John returns to addressing the first century church. Most interesting is the where during the tribulation period is the term church used in reference to the believers on the earth. John shifts from his details for the church to his absolute silence about the church for many chapters in history and totally unexpected. The church continue into the tribulation. If the church were to experience the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, then surely the most detailed study of tribulation events would include instructions for the church, but it doesn't. The only explanation for this frequent mention of the church is Revelation chapters 1 to 3. Total absence of the church on the earth until Revelation 22:16 is a pre-tribulational rapture, which will from the earth to heaven prior to the tribulation. So it's one of the reasons why we believe in the pre-rapture. Let's look for the mid-tribulation rapture, and I'll share that with you, idea of what the scripture is talking about. Hallelujah. He is called the heirs of mid-tribulational rapture. This is what they say. According to the mid-tribulation rapture position, the rapture of the church would occur before the wrath of God falls upon the earth during the last half of the tribulation period, and it happens after man's wrath against man during the first half. The rapture of Christ's promise in Revelation 3:10 to remove the church from trial will come upon the whole world in the middle of the 70th week, but the initial sign of the tribulation. Some proponents find their support for this theory in Revelation 11:10. Others find it in Revelation 14:1. This view agrees with the view teaching that God removes the church before pouring out his wrath. Mid-tribulation and pre-tribulation is the timing of rapture. The distinction between the wrath of God and man's wrath against man, and the issue of the at any moment rapture of the church. According to the mid-tribulation position, the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel 9:24-27, will last 6 years. At the beginning of that period, the Antichrist will enter into a treaty for guaranteed freedom of religion to Israel, and he will keep the promise for 3.5 years. The first half of the tribulation is known as the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 20. This period includes the chaos and tribulation of and the first 6 trumpet judgments of Revelations. It also includes 2 of the first 3 woe describes in Revelations 9:11-14. The seals, the first 6 trumpets, and the first 2 woes are seen as excruciating agonies. 2 woes are seen as excruciating agonies, much like what the people of God have endured throughout the ages. Acts 14:22, Romans 8, 4:17, 1 Peter 1:6. The stuff endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2. And according to the traditions, both Peter and Paul suffer agonizing death to believers alive at the for the rapturous believed to be trapped against rap man. The adherents of this theory hold to the promise that the true believers will be saved from the wrath that is to come. 1 Thessalonians 10:5-9. Revelation 3:10, citing Daniel 7:25, 12:7-11, Revelation 13:5. Revelation content the wrath of God lasts not 7 years, but only 3.5 years. Nothing that precedes the final 3.5 years period is regarded as the wrath of God. Amen. Praise God. Rapture. And let's see what it says to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Post-tribulation rapture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Post-tribulation. Post-tribulationism teaches that the church will endure the great tribulation and be raptured at its conclusion. According to this view, the rapture and the second coming of Christ are one and the same. Therefore, post is believed the tribulation would be imminent, but the rapture is not. Post-tribulation writers suggest several proofs for the theory that post-tribulationists will agree with every argument listed below, but the following list identifies the major arguments by leading spokesmen in this theory. The first point is the historical argument. Number two, the argument against imminency. Number three, the argument that the church is promised tribulation. Number four, the argument of historical fulfillment of Daniel 9:24-27. Number five, the argument that the resurrection occurs after tribulation. Number six, the argument of the parable of the wheat and tares. Number seven, the argument of fruits. So let me finish off by reading this pre-tribulation support. The ultimate answer at the arguments of post-tribulation are the overwhelming affirmation reasons for reasoning pre-tribulation rapture. One, the contrast of the events involving the rapture and the second coming. Two, the need for time after the rapture for the judgment seat of Christ and the heaven. Three, the necessity of removal trainer and the resurrection of man of sin and the Christ. Four, the uniqueness of the church at Christ. Five, God's promises to keep the church from the great tribulation. Six, the absence of the church between Revelations 4:1 and 19:11. All these factors point to a pre-tribulational coming. Even so, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there you have it, my brothers and sisters. Learn today a little bit about the blessed hope, which is signifies the same as the rapture parcel in the King James. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we looked at what, and we gave a little explanation of what that word meant to or remove. Suddenly, right? And then we talked about will the rapture be pre-tribulation. And we read the beliefs about pre-tribulational, mid-tribulational, and post-tribulational. I'm of the belief of pre-tribulation because I believe the word of God says that the church was appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. So we want to thank God for that, for today. Blessed hope. What does rapture mean? And will the rapture be tribulational? If you have any questions or so, it's 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, today, we're scheduled to the final of the rapture, the difference between the rapture of the saints and the second coming of Christ. Unless Sister Ortiz is able to, we will get into that. Lord, hallelujah. So we're going to close out with prayer. And then we're going to end. Father God, thank you for this teaching. Lord, Father God, and I just pray that my brothers and sisters, revelation from your Holy Spirit, Father God, that the church will be caught up and will be harpazo before the tribulation, my Father. I know as a husband marries a wife, that they go on their honeymoon, but the husband does not beat up the wife. Church is going to go tribulational because that day the rapture is when Jesus comes for his bride. Glory be to the church is the bride of Christ, and we have not been appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's someone out there has a question and understand pre-tribulation, you can call me at 772-626-3178. We'll continue the discussion. Or if you like, you could email the church, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. That email again is WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. And if you send something to the church via the email, you're going to get a response. The Lord, hallelujah. And you respond, but I'm going to respond back to God as per my opinion or anybody else's opinion. Glory be to the Lord. So we'll be back on Sunday at 7 p.m. for the Bible mystery. We're going to go into the mystery and see what's going to take place. The mystery for Sunday, this Sunday coming up, is going to be who wrote the book of Hebrews. That's the mystery. And if you get it correct, the church will have a beautiful, colorful, accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishing, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, sacrifices in the tabernacle, garment of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Beautiful, colorful. And you put it in your Bible. And when you have an appointment or something like that and you're waiting to be called, you could see that pamphlet there, the tabernacle, and get acquainted with the tabernacle. Now, tabernacle was also known as the Tent of Meetings. It was a portable element of the Jewish people. Wherever the cloud stopped, the together, when the cloud began to move, the temple would be taken apart. Glory be to the Lord. And as you know, they have the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. You got the holy place. You have the altar of incense. You had shewbread, table shewbread, and you had the menorah. and everything was made out of acacia wood, but it was overlaid with gold. So imagine when they put the light on for those candles, the brightness of that room will be exuberant. Now, I learned from the Jewish people, and that is that when they are, that the oil is in the menorah, that always they have two candles are lit. The other ones could be turned off. And, you know, the wicks could be trimmed, and then the five turned on, and the other two going to be worked on. But they want to make sure that the oil, the olive oil, plenty is down that way to keep the light going. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then next Thursday, Bible study at 7 o'clock. We'll continue with our topic, What's Next? And we are scheduled to do part three of unless Sister Ortiz comes on board. If she comes on board, then we're going to hold off on the part three. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you want to talk to the pastor afterwards, you have any questions you didn't get to, you could call me at 772-626-3178. That's in Florida. Or you could email the church, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Get your body. At what time the Jewish people go? But in Corinthians, Paul asks us a question. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have to live holy and righteous before him, because he does not dwell in an unclean body. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.